Are we used to lying? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with Instant Illumination. Are we accustomed or used to lying? And the answer is yes. All of our life, we've been taught that we shouldn't cheat, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't lie, always tell the truth, and always do this, and always do that. And the reason that we're told always to tell the truth and never to lie is because we lie. Lying is a natural facility for the human being. And lying is a natural facility for the human being because the human being has so many teachers. The human being has so many forms of information that they are told is right or wrong. And the information, well, for instance, I just talked about a little test that Mary Willett sent us from her vast storehouse of fascinating stuff. And it's a Japanese test. It's all in Japanese, except for the numbers. And the numbers appear in little circles. And you quickly have to see where the numbers are in the circles, and then you have to repeat that, not putting any numbers down. You just say, which was the area with the lowest number, and then each succeeding number going up. And so sometimes there's missing numbers, and you have to go from 5 to 8 or something like that. And that can be very confusing and very interesting. But I took the test one time, and it was quite interesting, and I was very alert, and I got 2 wrong. And with the 2 wrong, I got a test score result which said that I have the brain of a 31-year-old genius. I added the word genius on there. And it just shows that that's the thing. Well, then, at the lunch table today, I told the monks that that's a very good little test. I'll see if they get a copy so they can play with it too. It's a link thing. Might even send it out on our to our list of people who are on my mailing list. And so what you do, you have a number, zero, a circle here, circle there, circle here, circle there, and then a 1, and then over here is a 3, and then up down is a 5, and up on top is a 6, and you have to have these numbers all quickly assessed in your mind, like a quick memory of what you saw. You make an imprint. And then you click the circle, the empty circle, for where you saw the number and its successor. And you go around, and if you miss, then of course you goofed. And even if you're missing on virtually the last one, as I did on 8, 9, and 9, and 8, you know. And so I said, you can take the test as many times as you want. The numbers rotate, they continually change. There's not the same numbers always, but it's the same little circle somewhere or other, and you have to be alert. And the monks are saying, well, if you take the test a second time, that's cheating. You know the program, you know how to do it. That's right, you know how to do it. No. What is the test of the program? The test of the program is to see if you know how to do it. Now, each time you do it better, then you know how to do it. Now, if you say to a child, here is the multiplication tables, 2 times 2, 3 times 4, 2 times 8, 2 times 10, now write the answer down. And the kid makes a mistake on all of them. And you say, sweetheart, you're not paying attention. You know how to do that. Now, what's 2 times 2? What's 2 times 4? What's 2 times 8? Okay, he gives you the right answer. So you say, now let's do it again. So you do it again. This time, he doesn't have a hang-up in his mind that he doesn't know it, because he's already had a dry run. And so he says 2 times 2 is 4, and he goes through the gambit, and however the order is there of giving him those figures, he knows right what they are, because he knows that he knows. And then you give it to him again, you give it to him again, and you give it to him again, and you give it to him again until he's sick of it. And you give it to him again, and you give it to him again, and then all of a sudden, he doubts himself. He says, I'm not sure what 2 times 2 is, or 2 times 4. I'm not sure, you know. And when he doubts himself, then he's back in grade 1 again. And when he believes in himself, then he is a graduate student. And this is what this test from this Japanese game place is trying to project to you. When you believe in yourself, then your natural genius comes right on through. I don't know what age I would have had if I got all of them through. Maybe I would have got 18 or 25, you know. I doubt that it'd be much younger. But it would be some significant age like that, and quite lovely. But the thing is, what does it say? What it says is that if I were to give Sylvia a test on the Mensa test, and I give her a test in Switzerland on the Mensa test, and she is living in Switzerland and been in Switzerland all of her life, she would do very well. If I give Sylvia, a recent visitor from Switzerland to America, the Mensa test here, she would fail almost 100%. Because the test is based upon idiomatics of the American language and of the American culture and of the American experience. Just like the Mensa test for Switzerland is based on the Swiss experience. And so you don't know the American experiences yet. You haven't been around long enough to have run into a great deal of them. And perhaps, unless you are a student, you never will. And you never will know them. Now, does that mean that you're stupid? Does that mean that you're ignorant? Does that mean that you don't have a genius, entrepreneurial brain? You know, that you're not a Mensa person? Sip. And the answer is, the only thing that indicates whether you're a Mensa is if you have a test based upon who you are. If you're Swiss, it should be based on your Swiss background. If you're German, if you're Indian from India, it should be based upon your background. Because if it's based upon any other background, then of course it's an invalid test. Now, many people around the world try to take tests that are invalid for them, and they wonder why they don't do well on it. Now, this test that I was telling you about here, about the numbers, the test has everything in Japanese except the numbers and the word click and the word start. And before you begin, there's a phrase that says, find out what your brain age is. And then, of course, you find out. Now, if you tried to read any of the Japanese writing, who knows, it might be Korean or Chinese or something else, but it's the Oriental writing. And if you tried to read some of that, you would be at a disadvantage to yourself. But the numbers are Roman numbers. You're quite familiar with them. And as you look at them, you just feel very much at home. Very clear numbers that have no little squigglies on them, you know. So it makes it very easy to see them. Now, think about it. Here you are working in a bank, and you're working with numbers all the time. And over here you got $50, and over here you got $10, and over here you got $5, and here you got this. And now you have to keep track of where you put those things so that when you come time to putting them into a pile, you can put them all into one pile, and you know you're only going to have a total of $500 in one stack. Maybe two $100 bills and two $50 bills and four $25 bills and so on down around the loop, and you got to know which they are. Now, mentally, you have that in your mind. Now, if you are doing that, and then you go to do this little test on numbers, you'd find it quite simple. Because it's easy for you to think numbers out of relationship, but always in relationship. It's just like you would immediately make the numbers go to the right places, because that's the way your mind thinks. And, of course, would that make you a younger person mentally, and as far as your genius goes? Probably. Old people who play chess, who play Scrabble, who play checkers, who play mind games, are young and dynamic people. Old people who play these things, old in years, and they play these things and they are youthful and they are alert and they are awake and they are fantastic. But old people who don't even want to read anything, they just watch TV and they merely want to watch fiction movies and they don't want to watch Discovery or any of the other channels that have the exciting happenings of the day in the field of science and industry and business and so forth, then they're not awake, they're not alert. Now, can you be a genius without being involved in the everyday affairs of the world with its television? And the answer is yes. Now, does playing chess involve you in the world of today? Checkers? Does reading crossword puzzles and doing those things make you alert in the everyday activities? No. What it does, it makes you alert, period. It makes you alert in spirit, mind, and body. It makes you alert in your walking, in your talking, in your thinking, in your acting, in your being, in your remembering. Because memory is just a matter of I know that I know that I know. It's just a matter of that inner awareness that's always there, and we can use it. So, we are taught by our parents, don't play games, don't play games, don't play games. And, you know, do your homework, do this, do that, do the other thing. And yet, the kids who have computers, who play the computer games, as unfortunate as they may be in their violence and in their negativity as it appears to us, they're brilliant. They're right on top of everything. And they know how to repair computers. They know how to write a computer language. They know how to do all these things because they're just tuned into it. They're tuned into this very high speed, rapid motion. We watched the train to
Polar
Express. And in the Polar Express, it was, for my thinking, a lot of very fast action and almost violence, but not really, but fast action that boggles the mind. And I watched that and I thought, no, I am watching the people. I am watching the main characters, and I'm paying attention to how they are responding to the world. And if you watch the main characters, you would notice that the main characters primarily had a very blank expression on their face. They had an expression of a sort of a happiness, and like the one boy said, did I see that lip go up just a little bit and a smile there, you know? But the thing is, they were untouched by all of the adventures. And the boy was walking along on the top of this Polar Express through a blizzard and windstorm, and here was a hobo sitting up there with a fire. But the thing of a hobo would be thoughtful. And the little boy walked along untouched. He was 10 years old. It was just as though he had no wind, there was no cold, there was no heat, no warmth, no nothing, and he did what the man asked him, and everything worked out just fine. Well, it turns out that the little boy did not look at the man as this, that, or the other thing. He looked at him as a phantasm, as something that was just here, there, and not there, and yet it was there, and yet he could create that man. And the man became very helpful to him at four or five times during the adventure. But the fast-moving quality gives the youngsters who are watching it something to do with their mind in the background, because the movie itself is so slow. They're going up to visit Santa Claus, and they're having every obstacle in their way on the way up there. And so it gives the children who have very rapid working minds the opportunity to be excited and be involved. And this is why I suggest to you in your meditation time, if you will have music in the background, it'll take care of part of your wandering mind, which needs to have something to do, so that you could direct your attention on your meditation. But the more you can let go of the music and just be in meditation and live in that center of peace, the better it is for you. And so it is with the children. The more they disassociated themselves from the violence of the experience they were going through, the more it was blah, you know. They got off it. It reminds me of the time I was with Eddie Meyer and Christina, his girlfriend, and I, and he were on their horse-driven carriage. And the horse decided to go down a steep mountainside as we were getting ready to go somewhere, and it just turned and started going right down this hill. Really steep. And so Eddie, in the most calm, peaceful way, he said, "Herb, take your camera case and step off." Step off as we're racing down this hill 100 miles an hour, you know. So I stepped off, and as I stepped right in rhythm with the movement of the wagon, and it was just as though nothing, you know. And then Christina, she stepped off, and then finally Eddie stepped off, and the wagon continued roaring down the mountainside until it finally stopped. But the thing is, Eddie said, "Step off." And so, without thinking, it's terrible, it's hard, it's easy, I just stepped off. I figured, okay, I'll step off. So I stepped off. And I was an adult man. And Christina was an adult lady. And she stepped off too. And she just did what she was told. And she grabbed a couple of bottles of wine that were under the seat too and took them along. And it was like nothing, you know. And so we wandered down the hill and finally found the horse and the two horses and the wagon, and everything was quite a mess. And one horse was injured and the other horse was not. And so Eddie drove off to get help. And so Christina and I had a couple glasses of wine, and then we tourniqueted the horse's leg and we took him to help. But you see, the dynamics of it, the speed of it, the apparent violence of it was not violent as we viewed it in slow motion. It was just such an easy, beautiful thing. And this is what our minds are capable of doing. When we do crossword puzzles, when we do chess and checkers and other games like that, that's why children love to play games. Not because the game is so interesting, but because they are not there. They are somewhere else while they're playing that game. They are living in a dynamics that we have barely an idea of what they're doing. It's exciting. But think about it. Think about it. And the more you enter into this, the more you listen to music as you meditate, the more you don't need it. The more you have all this activity going on, the more you learn to be oblivious to it and to move on with the game of being whatever you want to be. It's an exciting adventure. Think about it. It's a lot of fun. You bet it's a lot of fun. So, just know that I love you eternally.